At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Hello, 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 everybody. Welcome back to another episode of In Liberty and Health. This number 304 kind of makes me laugh because if you put on a calculator and turn it upside down, you'll see exactly what I mean. So, but regardless of semantics or funny jokes or not, today's going to be a pretty cool show. It's been about 6 months since I had this guest on last. He's been on twice before now, so this will be his third time on the show, and he's a very intelligent person in regards to 9/11 and foreign policy, which I find that those people kind of in that sphere, you know, my guests today, Adam Fitzgerald and Nelson Martins, who I've become friends with recently, have a very good perspective on all things foreign policy, conspiracy, or basically assessing conspiracies or things that kind of come up as, you know, we kind of move about the world. So I won't keep you guys too much longer here. Make sure you hit all the links below where you can find my guest, myself, what I got going on, and all the links that you can support me and support yourself through buying supplements through Tiger Fitness, drinklmnt.com/inlibertyandhealth, and Fox Sun's Coffee. Make sure you use code Kyle at checkout. All this stuff's fantastic, and obviously I'm an advocate for all of it. Use it all the time, every day, all that good stuff. So without further ado, let's go.
What is up, everybody? My name is Kyle Matovic. I am the host of the In Liberty and Health podcast, where we talk all things liberty, health and wellness, and beyond. My hope is to encourage and spread the message of liberty and physical and mental well-being. I hope you enjoy all the topics we talk about with our guests. We're on all major streaming platforms, so please sit back, relax, and enjoy.
Man, I'm doing as good as anyone can do getting buried by his 13-year-old son on leg day.
I'm not going to apologize for not being on this podcast because I got to go see Metallica. So if that's a problem, kiss my ass.
Okay? I am. All right. And welcoming back to the show, I have my dear friend, Mr. Sean Russell, with me today. Sean, how are you, brother?
Hey, Kyle. I'm doing all right. How are you, sir?
Fantastic. And as I kind of said in the introduction, I'm always excited to talk to you guys because, you know, referring to the 9/11, I don't want to say truthers because that's like a disrespectful term, but like the 9/11 for adults kind of people. I'm always excited to talk to you guys because you guys, I find, always have a good perspective on pretty much everything going on. So, you know, it's kind of funny, when we last talked, I believe it was actually September 11th of last year, which it feels like a year ago. But a lot has happened between now and then. So I guess I kind of wanted to throw it to you real quick, because I know you've messaged me a few times talking about certain things that go on over in the Middle East. What were your thoughts on October 7th and kind of some of the stuff that happened afterwards?
Yeah, it feels like a year, doesn't it? 6 months, I guess. But it's been a really exhausting time, even for people like us who are really not directly affected by any of this. And I don't have family or friends in the Middle East. And, you know, I'm not living in Gaza or anything. My house hasn't been blown up. I was pretty gobsmacked, to be honest. I didn't sleep very well for a few days. I got the news that this attack had happened in Israel and Palestine, and I like was up late at night, and I was like, man, I guess I'm not sleeping tonight, because like I'm already like queued up expecting some kind of regional conflict, like in particular involving Iran, for since before COVID, really. I've been like, all right, they're gonna do this at some point. There's gonna be a reason for things to heat up again. And then that happened, and I was like, oh geez. And you know, I guess I'll say it now, like what I'd been thinking was, man, this is the end of Palestine, was my initial reaction to it. And I hope I'm wrong, But I know I'm not the only one out there that is, you know, looking at it pretty objectively and thinking, you know, as much as people are excited about a resistance movement, as much as people are excited about this being brought to the forefront once again, it has been for decades. Like, there's instances where this problem in the Middle East gets brought up and it gets attention drawn to it in different ways, sometimes really horrific ways. And as much as people might be excited or enthusiastic about this, and certainly a lot of people are pro Hamas or pro Palestine, or they're getting, you know, like cheerleading yeehaw, and then they get clowned on by a Zionist on Twitter is like, hey, are you the one that was celebrating this? Now you're crying about your house is blown up. I see it as being a really, really heinous situation. I'm really upset about it. I don't know what to expect as far as, is there going to be a good outcome on this? I'm a little bit pessimistic about this stuff because I'm pretty jaded to it at this point, looking at things like 9/11 and especially like the United States entanglement with the State of Israel and all of the weird reverberations of 9/11 that have gone on in the years since. So it's it fucked me up real bad. And I'm still kind of fucked up by it. I've been seeing the dead children in Palestine for many years now. So it's not like it's something new to me. It's new for a lot of people, probably. I'm fully aware that there's been really, really bad shit going down for a long time. But I've seen it before, and I'm not really thrilled about seeing it so much now. The volume of death and destruction is pretty unprecedented. Who's the journalist that has this quote? Forgive me for not remembering your name, but someone called it the Nakba in color. It's like what happened almost 100 years ago, except it's worse, because if you look at the numbers, like, more Gazans have been expelled from their homes than what happened back during the the war for Palestine. So it's very grim. And the other militant groups that are like sort of Hamas adjacent, like Hezbollah, are in the news, and it's grim because this is all the fixings of that horrible scenario of a region-wide, which could escalate into a global conflict, and I'm not thrilled.
Yeah, no, I completely understand that. I want to take it back to Iran there for a second, because one thing that seems to be a pattern with Iran, and I'm not the Middle East expert by any stretch of the imagination, but one thing that seems to characterize Iran's, how do I want to say this? Not like military capabilities, but like their intention, is that they're generally characterized by great restraint. Because after Trump assassinated Soleimani, they didn't do anything. We've sanctioned them and took billions of dollars from them, you know, through the past couple decades, or, you know, decades and decades, and they don't do anything. We sanctioned the ever living shit out of them, you know, before the Iran deal, even though with the Iran deal, we were starting to kind of lift some of those sanctions, and they didn't do anything. Trump leaves the Iran deal and then puts a ton of sanctions on them, and they don't do anything. So, I mean, you just see this constant pattern of us using Iran as a punching bag, and every single Republican, including Trump, who's supposed to be the anti-war guy, is just hawking it up, saying we have to go after Iran. You know, Iran's responsible for all this stuff, and they're responsible for the attacks on Israel. They're responsible for funding Hamas, the world sponsor of terrorism. They just kind of seem to take it, and they never really seem to do anything. And even like Israel's assassinated some of their like government officials, poisoning them. I'm pretty sure they just killed them and killed a few people in like drone strikes recently. And they, you know, they bombed the Aleppo airport in Syria and all this other stuff. And generally just Iran kind of sits on their hands and doesn't really do anything. So I don't know how long they're going to do that. I mean, I don't know if that's going to be a similar situation that we saw in with Hamas and Palestine in, you know, October, but you know, I think it's going to be, it might be a situation like that where they just slowly boil the frog until one day Iran finally says, all right, gloves off, let's go. But I generally, that doesn't seem to be in their nature.
It's curious, right? I think it's a great point that you raise about the assassination of Soleimani. I wonder if that maybe made them hesitant, but you also bring to this point about how they've been sort of holding back for a very long time. So it is curious that why doesn't it just explode into something? but it almost makes me think about like some, I don't know, schoolyard antics or something. Like imagine a little piece of shit, little bastard kid in the school, but he's got a big brother. He's got an older brother that will fuck you up without hesitancy. And so you kind of let him get away with it. You kind of let him get away with all the shitty stuff that he does because you know he'll go run into big bro who's a wrestler or whatever, and he'll dump you on your head, fold you into the pretzel, and throw you down the stairs without a fucking hesitance. So maybe they know that it's not good for them to bring the wrath of the West down on them. But it is maybe a boiling frog, because at some point, does that frog get cooked? And how long can it really go on for? Maybe, just maybe, it won't happen. But there's so much pressure from, you know, the Warhawks and the neocons and everybody that's just been gunning for a war with Iran since forever. You see these people that are now being really vocal, especially on, you know, the social medias and stuff. It's like there's this chorus of anti-Iran sentiment. I cracked a joke a while back about how everybody turned into Michael Ledeen. Everybody is just like, oh yeah, we got to get them. We got to get them. They're supporting Hamas and they don't condemn Hamas. Do you condemn Hamas? You must be Iranian. What if, and I think the what if is super grim, because it would be uglier than some of the other stuff that we've already dealt with over the past two decades in the terror wars and the post 9/11 wars. I think it would be even worse. Afghanistan was a mess. Iraq was a mess. They're really going to try to do Iran after all of that. At some point, maybe the Vietnam syndrome in the American public has like a weight to it, and people are going to be sick of the wars and they're not going to be behind it. But at the same time, the volume and the amplification of the basically pro-war, or it's the pro-retaliation thing, is so loud. Are people clever enough that they see through it now? I can't be sure.
Well, there's like this faux resistance that I've tried to talk about quite a bit, and I'm sure you see it too, where basically Biden tries to placate his side of the aisle by saying, hey, I had a stern talking to with that Netanyahu. I told him, you really got to quit slaughtering all those Palestinians, you know?
I'm sure he told him.
Yeah. You really got to kind of calm it down here. But there's no consequences, right? All the aid's still flowing in. I mean, they specifically ship weapons over to Israel in a way that, like, they don't have to get congressional approval because they keep it under a certain price. I don't know exactly what it's called, but I know Kyle Anzalone over at antiwar.com has this whole article written up where basically that's how they're getting so many arms over there, is because they just go underneath that threshold. They don't have the congressional approval. So they're still sending them all the weapons that they're using to slaughter these people. So, you know, so that's the one side where basically Biden is like, you know, placating the left, so to speak. And then on the right side, they say, oh, well, he's not doing enough. He's leaving Israel behind. In fact, there's just an article, I think, the other day or last week from Trump saying Biden is leaving Israel behind. And it's like, are you insane? I mean, Biden, as long as he's been in the Senate, as a president, you name it, he has been a fervent Zionist. He has said that, you know, if Israel didn't exist, we would have to create Israel. You know, if I were a Jew, I'd be a Zionist. But then my dad told me I didn't need to be. I mean, he has been as pro-Israel as it gets. So there's like this weird media divide. It's a very convenient for the pro-Israeli side, because you have, you know, the left demanding you stop supporting this genocide right now. And then the right side saying you're not doing enough. But Biden is just toeing the line.
He has the peculiar situation of being the pro-war Democrat, as opposed to being the George W. Bush or something. So he's got to kind of play things a little bit differently, maybe like an Obama or something. But hey, he learned from the best, right? Obama could pull off another two terms of George W. Bush and nobody fucking noticed until after. He also said, I was born in Israel. He says a lot of fucking shit. And you know, trying to talk about how bad it was compared to 9/11, the October 7th and all that stuff. Regarding congressional approval, it's not like that has stopped them in the past.
Right. When
a lot of us were alive when the Iran-Contra scandal went public. And so there's ways of achieving goals when Israel is the shady little middleman in there and making things go from A to B. But again, you know, if he's got to say stuff like that, like to try to play this image of being like the Democrat, the Democrats aren't really going to bite on it. They don't like war, and it's going to be the Republicans that are going to have to find a way to, you know, make that happen. And everybody's so sick of Democrats now. Maybe the Republicans get their turn. But all the options sure look pretty bad, don't they? And with all this stuff having, you know, a trend of just years, like generations of trends, it's like, it'll happen. It has to happen. It's almost ludicrous to think that it won't happen. But I got my fingers crossed that, you know, the American people have figured out a thing or two since 9/11 regarding foreign policy in the Middle East. And, you know, maybe like your guys, like the anti-war guys like Anzalone and all of them that are reporting this information, and it's finally reaching the right people. And, you know, they'll tell their friends, and they'll tell two friends, and they'll tell two friends, and maybe we can finally have a educated public. But that's what I try to do, you know, talk to people about 9/11 and stuff, and the reverberating echo of all of this, the ripple effect, because it leads to situations like what we're discussing today. It's the result of all of that.
Of course, that's what's so fascinating, is that, like, you guys speaking about you, Adam Fitzgerald, and Nelson Martins, and Ryan Dawson as well. I forgot to mention him at the beginning. It's amazing how much you guys can research into this topic, and you guys are still finding new stuff every day. I wanted to touch on I guess this kind of pivots over to like disinformation. So like when you think about the way that the media portrays Biden and his, you know, foe running up against Israel or taking a stand against Israel, it really is disinformation, because they're lying to you. They're outright lying to you, or at least they're painting it in a context that is not even remotely truthful, because once again, it gives people the impression that Joe Biden is not doing enough for Israel. So therefore, all the right wingers who are just contrarian to everything that Biden's doing say, we have to double down. I named the stream the Great Litmus Test, is because I remember, I think it was you that said this, is that 9/11 is the litmus test. And one person that has come up across, you know, everybody's timelines now on Twitter and obviously everywhere else is Alex Jones, because he got banned, or he's back on Twitter. And I listened to him on Tucker Carlson today, and it was amazing how much like stuff that he would throw at the wall and to see what sticks. And then he'll have these wild theories that usually don't come true, but then he never talks about them again if they didn't come true. But if they do come true, then I'll say, oh my God, look, I nailed it. I know you and Adam have a severe disdain for him, but maybe like let's kind of walk through Alex Jones as like the disinformation agent from back, you know, when 9/11 happened.
Well, he actually gets his start before the 9/11 truth movement and 9/11 as a conspiracy theory. Mm-hmm. Alex Jones basically comes out of the sort of the Waco era. And that's basically having to do with like the arrival of Arab terrorism in the United States when World Trade Center was attacked in 1993. And Jones kind of takes off from there. I don't hate Alex Jones as much as some of my colleagues do. Adam Fitzgerald is pretty vocal about it. So is DJ Thermal Detonator. If you guys follow Ryan Dawson, you've probably seen him clowning on Jones quite a bit over many, many years. I almost kind of feel bad for him, because I think maybe he's a stooge that's just getting stomped on. If he was ever well-intentioned, and hey, look, I think it's up for debate. If he was ever well-intentioned, at some point he got turned in the wrong direction. And he says a lot of things. You can't really trust anything that he says, because he says so much stuff. And that really goes to your point about just flinging as much crap out there so that, you know, in the net, you get something. Like one or two of these things is going to like amount to something, and then you can work with that. And so he just says a bunch of crap. He's quite evangelical. He's a hoot to listen to, you know. power to you for being able to listen to him in today's day and age. I actually have only watched Alex Jones like once or twice in years and years and years. And I was never the guy that followed Alex Jones, really. I had the advantage of paying attention to Dawson's work early on. And so I was already kind of hip to the fact that, look, you're not going to get the stuff that you want from Alex Jones, so don't even bother. I watched him when Kanye went on, you know, like, it's about it. I don't care about Alex Jones. But certain, you know, even controversial people in their own right in the conspiracy research world, like the late, highly controversial researcher and author and radio host Michael Collins Piper, pretty much thought that Alex Jones was some kind of disinformation agent. Whatever he is, he seems to be fake and gay, so, you know, fuck him. I think that you can give him clicks and you can give him traffic, and he's just delighted that even if people are hating on him, he's just getting paid to do it. It doesn't even matter if you're exposing him, because he's got enough brainwashed fucking Goombas out there that are just hopeless. The types of people that I block after two or three replies, that they're hopeless and they're never going to crack out of their dumbness. They're just going to keep listening to Alex Jones, and they're going to rally around the one or two things that he got right. It's easy to say that he gets everything wrong. It's not entirely true. He does get some things kind of right. Sometimes he's right for the wrong reasons or whatever. But it's inconsequential, because he never touches the third rail. And all he does is just get himself into trouble. He's like the example of what you shouldn't do, because he's billions of dollars in debt. And now he's like completely a tar baby. Even if he was well-intentioned at some point, he took the wrong path and he turned into a complete dipshit and just fucked himself. You don't have to do that. You can just go with what's actually good information and not take the Sandy Hooker path. And then you won't destroy yourself like he did. So I have a little bit of sympathy, but at the same time, fuck him.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like a pattern I notice, is that the people who are 9/11 truthers, and typically they kind of run in the circle of no planes, a missile hit the Pentagon, and Sandy Hook wasn't real, and and then usually that kind of ties in with like China is at the heart of every single conspiracy in the world. I made a tweet earlier, and I didn't exactly get it right in what I just said, but like all those conspiracies that I just mentioned, that's like a circle of people, because, you know, like each one's going to have a group, and then maybe like some in those group don't believe the other conspiracies, but you can almost say that's a damn near fucking perfect circle of people who believe all that stuff, where they'll talk about the globalists. They'll never touch Israel, which is always really, really, really funny. They never talk about Israel, but they'll tell you all about China. They'll tell you a missile hit the Pentagon and that there were no planes for 9/11. And, you know, they'll tell you, go watch Loose Change and all this other stuff. Do you know the kind of group I'm talking about? They're basically like your kind of boomer con-ish kind of right-wing people.
Oh, sure. Well, and some of them are young, too, and because they've just been raised up in the internet age. And, you know, the double-edged sword of the internet is, look, we don't have extreme censorship. Look, the information is out there. Sometimes, if you're really irresponsible, you get deleted. It can happen, but it's also possible to keep your shit up. You can have your stuff out there, and you can have the information out there. If it's indisputable, nobody can say that you can't say it. Nobody can say that your information can't be out there. The thing about the internet is they honestly can't stop the information. But what they can do is they can add in all the other horseshit, and they can pile on the junk so that it just takes forever and is disheartening and demoralizing to dig through all of it. So you'll have all the good information there, but it will be buried in bunk stuff like your Loose Change and all that stuff. You can find real information about, like, you know, CIA might be involved with this. Maybe Mossad's in the mix. You know, like, there's the spook shit that you can maybe work with is there, but it's buried in Ancient Aliens. So you're gonna be like trying to figure out how Bigfoot fits into the whole thing, which it doesn't. But you're gonna be trying to make that work in your theory, and then your theory is gonna be highly flawed, and then everyone's gonna laugh at you. Or if you try to do something with it, then you make your way onto an ADL article or whatever, and everyone will see how you're completely bogus because you included whatever it was, the anti-Semitic version of Bigfoot or whatever. Is it mixed into your theory, and therefore you're all wrong about everything, and now you're on the list. Fuck yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that kind of goes back to being a tar baby, which essentially 9/11 and the 9/11 truth movement had essentially become, because so many people out there just had so many wild theories that anytime you tell people like, hey, there's more to the story of 9/11 than what you're being told, people immediately think you're just some kind of kook and a retard. But then you start explaining, okay, well, let's talk about, you know, the 28 pages, Canastro documents, the dancing Israelis, which now is, I think, on the ADL website where they literally say it's like an anti-Semitic trope or something like that. But I mean, this was a legitimate thing. You know, the art students and all this other stuff, you know, the Yemen hub, you could talk about all these things, but that's not as sexy as saying, once again, a missile at the Pentagon or there were no planes. It was a laser beam or something like that.
Yeah.
So, you know,
Peachtree Dish with her Jewish space lasers. And she just makes the whole thing look ugly. There's enough like sexy, they look like the mousetrap machinations of like a James Bond plot or something. There's all these gadgets and all these complex situations and, you know, swapping the plane in some kind of way, or like, or it was a hologram, or they edited the video, you know, crisis actors, all these complicated, like, they're sexy. They're, you know, attractive. They're like the plots to a Hollywood movie, basically. And then people are attracted to those because it's, I don't know, it's exciting. It's like religion. It's, you know, it's like really fantastical explanations for stuff that actually can be explained in more mundane ways that is just not as interesting, or are like more confusing to hash out, because then you have to like study things like foreign policy and stuff, and you have to get into the really boring crap about reading mundane histories and stuff. And the thing that it ends up being, though, is that it is kind of mundane. Like, Arab terrorists exist. They're not hoaxed. They don't have to be hoaxed. There's a whole giant history of Arab terrorism. And, you know, they happen to be Arabs. They happen to be terrorists. They're not always Islamists. Sometimes they're like Marxists and stuff. Like, there's different reasons why they do what they do, and they do different things. And maybe they're connected to different state services for like larger, like geopolitical agendas and stuff. And it's not always just CIA hoaxed it. In fact, I think a lot of it, this is my opinion, I can't necessarily prove this 100%, but I think most of the time it's not that. I think it's a lot of the times when we're talking about things like 9/11, it's not Mighty Whitey pulling every string. They're in it, like they're in it, but I don't think they're the top dog, because why can't Joe Biden stand up to Israel? Like, they're in the mix, just like the Saudis are in the mix, but it's a dog pile, and like somebody always ends up on top. See what I'm saying? So it doesn't have to be shape-shifting aliens. It doesn't have to be the plot to a 1980s sci-fi movie. It can just be, look, they crashed some fucking airplanes, man, and they did it because they infiltrated the airport security. And like, maybe certain people in like NSA or CIA, like certain crooks, you know, like the James Angletons of their era or whatever, are like kind of like playing both sides or whatever, and maybe they want something like that to happen. But most of the intelligence services are like hardcore Americans. They got to take polygraph tests and shit. You can't just join CIA unless you're hardcore pro-America. They don't want something like that to happen. So I'm not convinced that all this stuff is Mighty Whitey punching himself in the nuts. I think that sometimes there's brown people that want to punch you in the nuts, and then sometimes you've got like Cypher from the Matrix or whatever that is going to throw you under the bus and allow something to happen. You know, they allowed something to happen. I don't believe everything is orchestrated exactly. At least I haven't been convinced of it. But as we've talked about previously, you know, like certain things do seem apparent, you know, like FBI covered up 9/11 after the fact, and the Bush administration lied their way into unjust wars afterward. And like the commission seemed to be like a fraud, you know, but the airplanes were real. We can show you the wreckage, you know, like the debris is real. Everybody that says there's no debris, and then you show them the debris, and then good Lord, the hoops that they jump through. I've talked to truthers that try to spin weird conspiracy theories explaining plane wreckage at the Pentagon. I shit you not, this is actually something that like active people in the truth movement, even today, will try to theorize about, and they'll say, like, what if there was an
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax tip and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Explosive device in the Pentagon that blew the plane debris away from the impact site. And it was loaded with the debris, and it launched that debris all over the lawn. And that was how the debris got there. You know, even more wacky than just you had a bunch of feds walking around the lawn putting it there. Like, there's no end to it with some of these people. It can be anything as long as it's just not what they officially said on the news. They're so anti-official story that literally anything under the sun is acceptable, or at least more acceptable than it was what it was. Plane hit the Pentagon, it fucking crashed. They didn't shoot it down. Like that, hey, there's your conspiracy. They didn't stop the thing from happening. There's your fucking conspiracy. People talk about, you know, the no plane at the Pentagon, but they also, this is typical, they'll also talk about the testimony of Mineta talking about how Cheney didn't give the order, right? He's there's the story about the cadet or whatever in the PIOC, and he's saying something like, sir, does the order still stand? The plane is 10 miles out. And then Cheney whips his head around and barks at him, of course the order still stands. Did you hear anything to the contrary? Like, that's basically the order to stand down and not do anything. Well, look, if there was no fucking plane, then what didn't they shoot down? The whole conspiracy truther movement, it's not consistent. It's ineffective. It didn't achieve anything. And when you get into the nitty gritty of it, it actually becomes like offensive because they're starting to deny the fact that victims exist. And that's where you drift off into the Sandy Hooker territory, where now your public is turned against you too. The people that actually should be on your side aren't on your side anymore because you're denying that their loved one died, or you're now alleging that they're some kind of crisis actor and a liar and all this stuff, and you're losing people. These are the people that actually care about this stuff, and now you've lost them. And it's like, well, shit, the CIA couldn't have planned this any better. This works out fucking great. You don't know a goddamn thing about hijackers. You won't talk about Medar and Hazmi. They got the fingerprints of CIA and GID all over them. And you don't differentiate between hijackers, for that matter, because now you're not even really looking at who are the 19 hijackers of 9/11. You'll never get to Ziad Jarrah if you can't get over the fact that there were planes with hijackers. You just throw the whole thing out because now it has to be a missile, and you think that Mighty Whitey is hitting itself in the nuts with a missile, which, again, I think that's fucking stupid.
Jesus. Yeah, I agree. I want to read some of these comments because Joe Biden can't stand up, period. My friend Kyle.
Ah, true.
Earlier. Yeah, true. And then Conrail 2020, how would you rate Ventura compared to Jones?
Jesse Ventura,
of their theories?
I like Jesse Ventura, but I think he's been dropped on his head.
Okay. So I guess for the audience, explain like what would be the difference between Jones and Ventura when it comes to 9/11, if you recall correctly.
Well, Jones isn't serious. He part of his defense when he got fucking raped in court, part of his whole defense was, I'm playing a character.
Yes,
so
correct.
Jesse Ventura is sincere. And Jesse Ventura also fucking served as a proper American, all right? As a frogman. Like, he legit cares. He's not a grifter. You know, Ventura wrote a book. Jones wrote a book or whatever. It's like they sort of look alike, but like, I think one of them is sincere and the other one is just a grifter. That's how I compare them.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, it seems apparent to me that like Jones is, it's funny because DJ Thermal Detonator, when him and I were talking, he had said, oh, the reason why why Jones is turning on Israel right now is because the Democrats in charge. If it was a Republican, he wouldn't be turning, because now it's just an opportune time because he can throw Democrats and Israel under the bus. But, you know, like I was listening to when I want to say it was probably 7 or 8 years ago, and he was talking about Iran and all this. And even with Tucker Carlson, he really sounds like a mainstream right winger at this point, where they're going to just, there's sleeper cells all over America and they're going to activate if we go to war with Iran. And like, dude, are you serious? This sounds like fucking, like you said, like Michael Ledeen.
Yeah, they just like conveniently converge with like neocon warhawks and, you know, ultra-nationalist profiteers. They just sort of like naturally converge. Convenient, right? It's not that they exactly are these things, but they can like not resist them. They can even add momentum to them. And I mean, I think that's what it's all about. I think it's, you know, the intelligence services whisper in your ear and then it just happens naturally. I think that's how you make things really happen in a clean way. That's, I mean, fuck, I don't think these spooks are stupid, man. I don't think they do stuff in a really dumb way that a bunch of college kids 2 years after the fact can solve 9/11. I don't think that they do things that way. I'm going to give them a little bit more credit than that.
Yeah, no, dude, that's totally fair. So another thing that kind of came to mind was Nick F. I'm sure you know who I'm talking about. He's
unfortunately
he's one of the groypers, if you will, which that term always just made me uncomfortable, because I think groip and then I think grope, like I don't get it. But anyways, I see so many people starting to share his memes. And not his memes, but like memes with him pointing at people saying you're Jewish and stuff like that. I'm like, listen, if you want to turn people off from questioning Israel and the U.S., you know, Israeli relations, AIPAC and all this stuff, you were doing a great job of turning people off to that. Because when you act like a retard like that and call everyone who disagrees with your narrative and you, they're Jewish, they're being paid by Israel or something like that, like that is a great way to just make everybody that's around you by association look as awful as possible. And I don't know if it's by design, but like for AIPAC and the Israeli government, I can't think of anything more convenient to have people that just shit coat anything that comes near it when it comes to criticizing those two things.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be by design, but it works just fine.
Right.
There's an old sentiment, and I can't remember where this originates from, but Dawson has a version of it that he quotes. And the saying is, and you'll see him use this, he's been using this for years, you see this from Dawson, is nothing can hurt you quite like an idiot arguing on your behalf. And yes, that's what you get with these retards that are out there sharing that fucking, I've seen the meme too, I see it all. Sometimes I'm too busy to engage with it, and a lot of times there's no real point in engaging with it, but I see it. And I block most groypers on site. Like, I don't need these people. Yeah. And I don't think that a healthy movement needs these people. It's just bad for you. It's like getting attached to an Alex Jones. It's not going to be effective, and it's so much of a weight to be dragging around. You look like an asshole. The sort of knee-jerk reaction is going to be repulsed by it. You're not going to be winning people over. And if you are winning people over, they're the people that were already like dialed into something. They're already, I don't know. I kind of think neo-Nazi doesn't, it's not really a thing anymore. I kind of think that it's not exactly that, but it's people that are into like a hardcore ideology that they're already made up their mind, and nothing's going to sway that. They're not going to respond to new information. They're not going to change their opinions about anything. They're already set on the course. They're going to respond to it. They're going to appreciate it. But all they do is look like a bunch of Adolf Hitlers, and like history has shown that that's exactly what you do if you want to fail. Mm-hmm. It's not the way to do it. There's ways that you can be effective. It involves basically not repulsing your allies. Because all you do is create more opposition when you do that. It's self-defeating.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of Rabbi Shmuley, who, like, I don't know what the hell is going on with him, but, like, I can't think. It's either he's being paid handsomely to look as retarded as possible, to make as many awful people jump on him as possible, and knee-jerk reaction being like, look, we have to protect this certain group of people because everybody's going after them, because, you know, Rabbi Shmuel is making an ass out of himself, or he is just incredibly retarded. Like, it has to be one of those two things.
Could be both. It doesn't have to be one or the other. Yeah. But if somebody like an anti-defamation league or whatever, if some entity or organization is interested in trying to have a news article or a conversation topic about rising anti-Semitism or whatever, or a spike in anti-Jew sentiments on X, they now have something to report, because here's your numbers. And they're going to quote these numbers and they say, look at all of this anti-Semitism on X. Elon Musk, what are you doing? Your trip to Auschwitz meant nothing. But you're going to be able to make something out of it now, because everybody is, you know, responding in that way. That's just, it's not intelligent. It's maybe it's immediately gratifying, but they're not planning ahead on this shit. And it's the type of shit that gets used against them, even if they have some legitimate issue with Israeli foreign policy or something. Like, you may be legitimately pro-Palestinian or anti-Israeli or whatever. You've got some issue with things that are going on regarding Israel. And there's a lot of things to be concerned about. No fucking joke. But if all you are is another Adolf Hitler, then nobody's going to take you seriously. And you have a chance at getting on the news and saying real shit. You have a chance at reporting real shit. But they're not going to bring you on if you look like a Hitler. You're going to be confined to InfoWars, or maybe not even InfoWars. Maybe you're going to go on some other lesser show, and that's where you will remain, and that's where you will wither and die. And I'm sure a lot of people are delighted that it plays out that way.
Yeah, I agree. So one thing I kind of wanted to throw to you, and you could elaborate on, is the title of the stream, The Great Litmus Test. Why is 9/11 the great litmus test? Because in my experience, it seems to be true. If people are dumb on 9/11 or have wacky theories about it, or, you know, believe that it was just some terrorists randomly decided one day they're going to attack the U.S. without, you know, the proper context to that, then I usually most other things, or there's another crack in their foundation that makes me realize, like, oh, I shouldn't ally with this person. They're not reliable, or they're not a good voice for anti-imperialism or anti-war libertarianism.
It just means that they're a sucker if they're into Alex Jones and loose change. It just sure. means, like, if you can fall for the dumbest shit, then that means that really advanced propaganda is going to roll you bad. So you don't have a fucking hope at not getting played. If somebody actually is propagandizing them, if somebody actually is trying to manipulate them, and I don't rule out that that type of thing happens, then they're just dead in the water. They are a sitting duck for smart propaganda, for like really good propaganda that you can't see. And that's what perfect propaganda is imperceptible. If you fall for the dumbest fucking conspiracies out there, then they got you already. You never even had a chance. So it's actually something that DJ Thermal Detonator started saying about may 9/11 be their litmus test. And so I say it too. It's a good way of finding out who you're dealing with. If you're doing public outreach and activism, it's usually a one-on-one thing and you're talking to somebody, but it helps if you know who you're talking to. And so if I am engaged with somebody, say on Twitter, man, I'm going to do a search on their profile and I'm going to see what kind of shit do they say. And I'm like, the first thing that, you know, that I look up is 9/11. Just do a search on their fucking profile, 9/11. What did they say about 9/11? Are they talking about missiles hitting Pentagons and no hijackers and no planes and holograms and God knows what? It gives you a pretty good indication of like where they're at, where they came from, the types of information that they're probably consuming, because all of these memes originate from certain places. It's like a really geeky thing to dig into the past of 9/11 trutherism, but like you can see where all this stuff comes from, and you can see like, oh, well, even if you didn't know it, you're basically following memes that came out of Loose Change or In Plain Sight or painful deceptions or, you know, whatever origin that they happen to be working off of. You know, are you a Christopher Bolin truther? You know, are you a Richard Gage person? Like, you can kind of tell what information they're working with. And then it also gives you a clue about, like, how long have you been at it? If you still believe, you know, no plane at the Pentagon, that means that you haven't advanced since like 2017 or something. Mm-hmm. It kind of shows you what kind of person they are, what kind of information they're into. And it's a way to very quickly find out, who are you talking to? Are they a bot? You know, like, are they an NPC? Like, are they practically a bot, right? Is this a thinking person, or is it just a cheerleader that parrots bumper sticker slogans? Did you know a third building fell that day? Yeah, I fucking do, but I also don't think that it's effective in figuring out what's going on with 9/11. Tell me about urban moving systems, dipshit. Like, I know that the building fell. The whole fucking site was destroyed. When the twins came down, basically every building of the site was destroyed. It doesn't fucking matter so much that Building 7 collapsed, because everything around it was so badly damaged. Like, almost everything collapsed. And partial collapses, total collapses, major damage, minor damage. You can look at the fucking reports. You can look at the maps. The buildings were all rallied bad. The only thing that they got is, oh, well, it was owned by a Jew. Larry Silverstein. He's Jewish. That's all they got. This, what, a Jew in Manhattan? No way. So it, you can't do nothing with it because there's no direct connection to, like, real criminality, or at least what is accepted in the investigation as real criminality. If you can't directly tie it into the terrorists and the terror organization, and, like, you have to take the proper steps, because what are you going to do? Take it to court? Fail really badly? Who are your jurors? Who are your peers going to be when you present this case? Fuck, look at America. What are our demographics, man? You're going to be trying to convince some Christian Zionists or something. You better bring real shit. Right. They're not going to listen to you if your evidence is, oh, well, there was a Jew that owned that building. It's like you talk about the anti-Semitic tropes and stuff. And hey, you know, I know Israelis love to dance. Like, I see them all the time in the TikTok clips and shit. They fucking love it. But does it mean something? And that's what it's all about. You got to make it mean something. I can't put C. Von Kersberg in Building 7, but I can put him in Tower 1. I can put C. Von Kersberg in Tower 1 about a month before the event. He was at Doric Towers the day before the event. Some of the others from Urban Moving Systems may have been there as well. They knew that they could get a view from the parking lot at Doric across the Hudson. Mm-hmm. Talking about dancing Israelis, they had a fucking disco party, or it was like a techno party on, I think it was 7/11. So, like, 2 months before the fucking, you know, infamous high-fiving celebration, the Urban Moving Systems guys were dancing to DJ Von G at Karen's birthday bash. They were having a dance party. It was coincidentally, hey, this is all about conspiracies about coincidences, right? It was the day that C. Von Kersberg was in World Trade Center. They had a dance party. I don't know. It's weird, right? But he wasn't in Building 7. So I don't do anything with that, because I can't bring it back to something that's, like, directly linked. I don't trust Silverstein. He knew, you know, good buddies with Netanyahu. It's like I said before, I don't trust the dude, but you can't prove nothing with it. So it ain't the smoking gun. And a plane hit the Pentagon. Fucking deal with it. Bring me your facts. Fucking prove me wrong. I want to be wrong because I want to know. I wish I was wrong about all this shit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you were, then once again, there's potentially less grim implications. But yeah, it's kind of funny that you brought up how they said, who's it, Mary Silverstein owned one of the buildings?
Like, well, Larry Silverstein owned Tower 7, and he basically was a leaseholder he leased Tower 1, I think is what it was. Mm-hmm. So, like, he's involved with the site. He's involved with Port Authority. And that's their whole argument about the Jewish property management conspiracy, which is, again, sort of an anti-Semitic trope.
Yeah, well, like, the funniest part is that when you start asking questions about, like, and this is going to sound like I'm off the wall, you know, Nazi stuff, but, like, when you start asking questions about Jewish associations, Jewish power, and Jews that run organizations, quickly people fucking put up a fucking guard to it. But like when you, the problem is that shit like that, like when you say, oh, well, Larry Silverstein owned a building, so therefore the Jews wanted 9/11 to happen. It's like, okay, well now you're taking one small tidbit of information and running with it. And basically, you know, you're taking this little tidbit of information, then blowing it way out of proportion to turn the whole thing into, once again, a tar baby. Where, like, you know, we can talk about, you know, who owns Pornhub. you know, there are a lot of people who just have to be, you know, of Jewish ancestry that are in positions of power. But then again, also when you look at, you know, race and IQ stuff, you're going to see they have a higher IQ. There's a lot that goes into this. But to just say, oh, well, this person's last name has Burgerstein in it, therefore it's a giant JQ conspiracy, and, you know, we need to make the number from 109 to 110. It's ridiculous, and it makes everybody else look bad.
If there's something there I want to know, I always want to know, is there something there? Sometimes there's something there, but it doesn't necessarily mean that every fucking bird is like a direct link.
Every Burgerstein is a Mossad asset.
Sometimes there's something, right? Like, right, the story of Urban Moving Systems and their owner, Dominic Suter, who got interviewed by FBI and apparently got a little bit spooked by it because he fled the country immediately afterward. FBI wanted to do a follow-up interview and he was gone. He left his warehouse, abandoned his properties. He had like thousands of dollars in debt, and he'd already been getting investigated by FBI for like crooked, like white collar crime. Urban Moving Systems was on a list already with FBI for like bad business practices. They were like threatening their customers and shit. There was weird shit, like they would basically be exploiting their customers, saying, you got to pay us more money or you won't get your furniture and all this stuff. He fucking disappears, never to be seen again. And he leaves Urban Moving Systems behind. It just fucking bails. Super fucking weird, especially when you consider that the guys that were the high fivers, they didn't dance. We've talked about this before. Guys that were arrested, two of them were on a counterintelligence watch list. They were apparently Mossad affiliated or some office within Israeli intelligence. If not Mossad, they still were like connected through Jewish agency and things like this. So Suter leaves behind his warehouse and it's full of undelivered furniture. And you can see in the fucking rare, very rare, I've seen it, most people haven't, you can see the ABC News report about the white van where you can see the video of the reporters going into Urban Moving Systems. The place looks shitty and trashed. There's just crap all over the place. It's a really disorderly warehouse. And you can see the fucking answering machine on the fucking phone in the office is flashing 99 messages. It's all angry customers who were calling about their undelivered furniture because they weren't actually doing a legitimate business operation. They were driving around in their vans doing creepy shit, like driving past the Shanksville crash site and watching 9/11 happen while they allegedly took some kind of video of the event. I mean, if you talk about video recording atrocities, you know, you can't help but sort of think back to weird shit like the Zapruder film and wonder if somebody's taken snuff films. But at all this said, if I can't directly link something to it, then it doesn't mean enough. I notice every fucking berg, point blank, but does it mean something in a theory? That's the whole different question.
Yeah, and that kind of makes people uncomfortable when you can't verifiably say that you know something. So, like, when it comes to, it's funny because, like, one thing that I've noticed a lot is that anytime right-wingers say China is responsible for X, usually if you put Israel in place of China, it's true. But, like, when you just say China is responsible for X, it's false. Like 99% of the time. I was listening to that Tucker Carlson interview with Alex Jones, and it was funny how he said, oh, the Chi-Com's this, the Chi-Com's that. And just all the time, I'm like, no, actually, if you dig into that, it's Israel doing a lot of this stuff. But there's a really good meme of like this, you know, dude wearing the, you know, the Israeli flag on his shirt. He looks like this big old Chad, and he has this dude who looks stupid wearing a Make America Great Again hat. And he's saying, yeah, it's China. Everything's China. It shows a picture of CPAC, and there's American flags and Israeli flags side by side all over the place. And yeah, the guy's just sitting there saying, yeah, it's China. It must be China.
Yeah, there's another meme that's getting around these days, and that's every accusation is an admission.
Yes, I heard Abby Martin say that.
It's pretty funny how you can kind of flip things. You just replace a word here, replace a word there, and all of a sudden your fucking bogus statement actually has a little bit of a ring of truth to it. Mm-hmm. It's like lazy propaganda, but apparently it works or something. Like, it gets around. Maybe it doesn't work. Maybe it doesn't actually work, but it's just blasted out there. It's just your infosphere is awash with it. Maybe it's not actually working on people, but it's always there. It's ever present. It's fucking super creepy because, Jesus Christ, I'm worried about a war with Iran. I don't want to fight China, too. We're going to interfere with their little ecosystem. We're going to get the Chinese involved and the Russians involved. I don't like any of that. That sounds awful. Sounds fucking awful. The United States is already like trillions of dollars upside down. What the fuck are we going to do? Make it worse and then also get killed? I don't like the look of that at all. Tri-coms, buy my dick pills.
Yeah, that's essentially what it is, though, is that like Republicans now are, just fear mongering about China, and like they won't touch Israel at all. Like, and it's funny because like people are really pointing to Tucker Carlson as like this pinnacle of free speech and anti-imperialism. But it's like, this dude was a fervent neocon for years, and then he never quite explained why or how he pivoted. All we know is that he pivoted, and he's asking the right questions about Ukraine. And to like a very, 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 very small degree, he's starting to ask questions about Israel, but he's still pumping out all this propaganda about China, and people just won't see right through it because they like him so much. And I get it. Tucker is a somewhat likable person. I think he kind of sucks as an interviewer. Like, he gets on these amazing guests, but I think his interviews are just boring as hell. But like, he's still one of the biggest propagandists out there. Just because he's not on Fox News anymore doesn't mean that he ain't still fucking doing his own thing, making a whole ton of money. Like, there's so many strings to pull on that. And people like, oh, you know, the fake news is fake news, and you know, all news media is bad. But this one guy who just so happened to be the most popular news anchor must be on our side. I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm still suspicious.
I don't find him likable at all. I think his laugh is annoying. Robbie Martin a long time ago put it out there that, hey, look, this guy Tucker, he always wanted to be in the CIA, and he even went to Nicaragua to assist the Contras back in the 80s.
Yep.
So there's no reason for me to think that whatever this guy is something that I can jive to. I don't watch his shit. I don't support his shit, and I don't like him. Even if he was too retarded to get into CIA, which that's the word on the street, he may still be able to do their fucking bidding because he can do exactly what CIA would want someone to do, especially if they're not directly connected with the agency, because now your hands are clean. You got your little guy off there doing his dumb shit, and you don't have to make him do nothing. That's the best way to have it work. The best way. Not tell somebody to do something. Let them do it of their own accord, because it doesn't come back to you. And if he's out there basically talking about controversial stuff like watch out for China, controversial stuff like UFOs and aliens, give me a break, Tucker Carlson. You don't say nothing controversial. And if you're going to touch, you know, 9/11, like, the best you got for me is Building 7. How fucking controversial. He sucks. Fuck him.
Nah, dude, I totally feel the same way. Sean, we're coming up to about an hour now, man. This hour flew by. I always enjoy talking to you. I'd love to have, maybe I'll have to have like you and DJ Thermal Detonator on. I got to get him on because him and I have been talking quite a bit, and I think he's a really, really good dude. Give your plugs. Let me know. Let me, my audience, know everything you got going on, where they can find you, where they can support you, and all that good stuff.
Sure. I'm Sean Russell. If you want to talk about 9/11, I'm one of the guys. I'm on Facebook, VK, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, Odyssey, and Rumble. If I'm forgetting something, forgive me. I'm out there just under my real name, Sean Russell. And I have a podcast with associate and co-researcher Darren Harvey. We have a show called Beyond Ground Zero. We'll be doing some more episodes for that show soon. I've been tied down recently with a bit of a project that I've had on the back burner for actually years now with DJ Thermal Detonator. And we're going to have some pretty exciting stuff to talk about soon, probably this spring. if not early summer, where we've got some fairly cutting edge angle on 9/11 and the terror war to be showing people. And that will be very soon. So maybe Kyle will talk to you again soon about some of our work that we got cooking that we're pretty excited about. And I've been holding back for years, not talking about it. So that's what I got going on. And I'm looking forward to more conversations in the future. Maybe I can get even more controversial and finally get banned from the show at some point by pissing people off enough.
No, never here, man. I think there's only one guest that I was slightly frustrated with, and that was a couple weeks ago, but I promise it wasn't you. So, all right, Sean, as always, it's a pleasure to talk to you. And until next time, brother, take care. Thank you, everybody, so much for listening. And one more time, until next time, take care.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.